Okay, we're beginning here with the Mishnah on the bottom of Yud Amud Bet. The Ran over here, at the conclusion of his Perush to the Mishnah, says, Kach nira beinai Perush Mishnatenu. This is my explanation of the Mishnah. Veritei l'rishonim zal, she'amumu ba harbe, v'lo ledavar mechuvar lefi dati. So that they tried with numerous different explanations, and they didn't come up with anything that was sufficient or satisfying in the explanation, and therefore I give you my explanation. Right now we'll work with the Ran's explanation of the Mishnah, but we will point out some of the issues that are found in the Mishnah. The first is Homer. Now here you have a Dalet right away, looking at the Bach. So whether it says Homer Lachulin, which is the Girsa that we have, or it says Homer Lochulin, they actually mean the same thing, which is what the Ran's going to point out, and which all the Rishonim point out, that when you have a Patach, with a lamed at the beginning of the word, it represents lo, and not lechulin with a shva. So therefore, over here, whether it says haomer lachulin or lochulin, they mean the same thing. It actually has ramifications. The Mishnah Brewer brings this down with regards to tfilot during the Aseret Yemei Tshuva. He says you should be careful not to say zachreinu lachayim, because zachreinu lachayim means lochayim. And therefore, that would be a terrible type of thing to say when you're in the Aseret Yemei Tshuva, and therefore you should be careful to say Zachreinu Lichayim. He then, in the end, says Achar Kavanat Alev Advarim. Even if you mispronounce things, then Kodesh Baruch Hu knows what you're thinking. But in general, we try to be careful about the way that we pronounce things, especially during the Aseret Yemei Tshuva. Therefore, one should be careful to say Zachreinu Lichayim with a Shva and not with a Patach. So that is borne out here by the Mishnah, that lachulin or lochulin both mean the same thing. And the Mishnah here says, Omer lachulin shochal lecha, lo kasher velo dachi, and then tahor, we'll get to in a second, that seems to be problematic. Dachi is the Aramaic translation for tahor. Now, you have over here statements that it should not be chulin, that which I eat from you. It should not be kasher, that which I eat from you. It should not be tahor, dachi, or tahor, that which I eat from you. The inference from that statement is, la chulin, lo chulin, ela, kodesh. That what I eat from you should be kodesh. Or in other words, you're trying to establish an isra with regards to eating from this individual. You do it not by using a word that means asur, but rather using a negative word with a lo in front of it. And therefore, the lo with the negative word then translates it into something that is kodesh, or something that is positive. So, la chulin would mean lo chulin ela kodesh. Lo kasher would be not kasher ela tamei. Velo dachi would be not tahor ela tamei. Now, the word tahor afterwards is problematic. And therefore, the Ran, and if you look in the Perush Mishnayot of the Rambam, he has it written this way as well, which is, it's v'lo dachi v'lo tahor. That the tahor is still connected to the first section of the Mishnah, where you have the word lo in front of each of these words. And therefore, lo dachi and lo tahor also are the same. The reason maybe why they didn't put the word lo in front of this is what the Ran speculates, is because the word dachi and tahor mean the exact same thing. So the Mishnah is just saying to you, v'lo dachi or lo tahor, it just goes v'lo dachi and tahor. Right, combining the two together, saying that they're basically, if you put a lo in front of him, you end up with the same result, which is something that is negative, lo tahor, ela tamei, or lo kasher, ela not kasher, or la chulin, ela kodesh. In each of those cases, you're creating a neder, shochal lecha, that I will not eat from that which you have here. Now, the problem here, and this is the Ran raises already, v'chi tema, don't you say over here, v'leik matpis v'davar asur, v'lo mitzar. What about the fact that when you do hatpasa, we said before with regards to another, when you use hatpasa, you must be matpis with davar hanadur, or a davar that you create the isur, that you can change the state of isur. If something is inherently asur, then hatpasa doesn't work. So why over here when you say lo tahor, lo dachi, lo kasher, why does that have any impact in terms of hatpasa? He says, afilo achi, kevin diikalamei mahachi. Diikalamei mahachi, azlinan lechumra. Since over here, you could say it this way, or you could say it that way. Therefore, we go lechumra, the kaimelan stam nidarim lachmir. Because we believe that Stam Nedarim, the Chachmir, if we have a chance to interpret that which you're saying, and there are two possible explanations of what you were saying, as long as it's not Davar She'inu Mokhiach, where it's completely ambiguous, and there's no way for us to understand what you're trying to do, in that case we will lean to the Tzad the Chachmir, and we'll interpret it as if you're Matpisit with something that is Nadur. The way the Rosh explains it over here is, the mashmaut of the words can be something that is for Isur, or something that is associated with Kodoshim. So when we say Lo Kasher Ela Pasul, the Psul is talking about a Psul of Kodoshim. And when we say Lo Dochi, means Lo Mutar Ela Asur, again we're referring to Kodoshim. And even though your interpretation could be about a Nevela or a Trefa, and the same thing with Lo Tahor Ela Tamei, even though you could have interpreted that to referring to Tuma associated with Truma, nevertheless, we're going to say that it's referring to Tuma associated with Kodoshim. And therefore, in all of these cases, you're really referencing something within the world of Kodoshim. We will do that because Stam Nedarim Lachmir, the game that I told that Piso Beneder, Amrinan, the Davaran Nadur Nitkavein, because that's what his intent is, to create a Neder here. Therefore, we will interpret his words where he will result in a neder. And since there are multiple interpretations, but his intent is to create a neder, the interpretation that allows us to create the neder, which is associating with Kodashim, will be the way that we interpret those statements. The Ran does something similar on a more generic level in explaining the Lashon in the Mishnah. And therefore, when he says over here, Lo Kasher Velo Dochi, not Kasher, not Dochi, then he's meaning Ela Asur. So you have two options of how to read that. You could read it that means Asur in the sense that he's trying to create an Isur, and that's how he's working. Or you can say that he's trying to use something that exists already, which is not something that's Tahor, but rather something Tamei, meaning a non-kosher animal. If you use a non-kosher animal, but Pasa, it doesn't work. So which one of those two interpretations do I take up? The one that gives me an Isur Neder, because we go to Hachmir when it comes to Nidarim. So that's what the Ran says. This first section of the Mishnah is describing circumstances or situations where a person uses lo in front of the word. The implications of that are that it's something that is Asur, and the Isur is either Hekdesh, where you can use Hatpasa, or he's literally saying the word Asur through saying Lo Kasher or Lo Dachi, he's basically saying Asur, and not trying to be Matpis with non-kosher animals or with things that are otherwise Tamei, because that doesn't work in terms of Hatpasa. Alright, so then, Vitamei, Notar, Upigul, Asur. So now you have a next part of the list, which is he uses Tamei, Notar, and Pigul. All of these items create a Isur Neder. Then we have an additional list, which is Ki Imra, Kedirim, Keitzim, Keishim, Kemizbeach, Kecheichal, Keyurushalayim, Nadar, Bechad Mikol, Meshamshea Mizbeach, Afalpish lo Iskir Kurban, Hareze, Neder, Bekurban. This person has then utilized the word Kurban. He is using items that are associated with the Kurban. So in this case, when he says Ki Imra, like the Kvasim, he's referring to the kvasim of the korbanot, whether it's a tamid, shel ben arbaim. He says ki etzim, he's talking about the atzei amaracha, or the shnei gizrei etzim that go on the mizbeach. Ki ishim means like the fire on the mizbeach. Ki mizbeach means like the korbanot that go on the mizbeach. So all of these are references in not a direct way, but in a somewhat indirect way to korban. But what he's trying to do is generate the neder through the hatpasa of using the term korban, and is using other types of words in order to do that. What is the difference between the list of Tamei, Notar, Pigul versus the next list? So the Ran claims over here the difference between them is the Kafa Dimyon. Whether you need the Kafa Dimyon or not depends on which list you're in. The Tamei, Notar, and Pigul do not require a Kafa Dimyon because they in of themselves can be the Hatpasa for the Neder. Because you can use the word Pigul, Notar, or Tamei directly, and they will create the Isur that you want. On the other hand, when it comes to Itzim, if you just said Itzim Sho'achal Lecha, well, that has no meaning. Itzim have no inherent meaning in terms of Isur. The only way they have meaning is if they're connected somehow to the Mizbeach. That's Ki Itzim. Keitz means like the Eitzim. What Eitzim? Now, he says in this case, the Kaf HaDemyon also in some senses has a Hei HaYidiyah associated with it, which is Keitzim means like the Eitzim. Like the Eitzim are the Eitzim that are associated with the Mizbeach. So you can see that when he translates each of these items, he says Kimra, Kisesho Korban. Either Kistamna Denidarim Lachmir, because at that point, once I say Ki Imra, I have different options of how to interpret it. One is to say it's connected to Mizbeach, one is to say have nothing to do with Mizbeach, I'll go Lachmir, but Od, the Mashma Kiseh Hayadua Kamar. And on the other hand, it says it's almost as if it has the Hei Hayadiyah in there. It's like Ki Ha Imra, in a sense, and therefore it works. Kidirim means the Kukorbanot Shibidirim. The deer is the corral. So when it says kidirim, it means like the korbanot that are held in the corrals. Ki'etzim are like the shnei gizrei etzim that they used to lay out on the mizbeach. Ki'ishim is kishal havot shalei shal mizbeach, like the flames that are on the mizbeach. Ki'Yerushalayim, here he says, ki'korbanot Yerushalayim, like the korbanot that are brought inside of Yerushalayim. So the Ran says that all of these words at the end require a kaf ha-dimyon, because inherently there's nothing asur about these items. The only way you can have them work in terms of a neder is if you put the kaf ha-dimyon, which then connects them to the korban, or somehow gets you connected to the mizbeach. On the other hand, you have the middle series, which is pigol, notar, and tamei. With tamei, pigol, notar, velo lamed, chenir la'ikar. They're inherently asur. And because they're asur, you can be matpis with those words themselves. You don't need to involve the korban. You don't need the kaf ha-dimyon. Now, the Gemara will talk about this. How does Pigol, Notar, and Tamei, how do they connect to the Korban? They seem to be Isurim and not dealing with the Korban. And we know that if you're Noder, B'davar Asur, that doesn't help you. Pigol is an Isur. Tamei is Asur. Notar is Asur. So the Gemara will discuss how that connects to a Korban rather than to the Isurim themselves. Again, that'll come up in the second half of the daf. So what you have based on the Ran is three sections to the Mishnah. First section of the Mishnah is using an inference, which is, I say lo something, and the lo something brings to me to something that is asur. So when I say lo cholin, means ela hektish. When I say lo tahor or lo dachi, it means ela asur. Then I have the middle section where you have inherent items that are asurim, that will allow you to do hadpasa, which is pigul, notar, and tamei. And then I have the last section of the Mishnah, which is the kaf ha-dimyon. Words that when you put the kaf ha-dimyon on them, associate them with the korban, and therefore they generate the isur of the neder. Now, Rabbi Yehuda disagrees at the end of the Mishnah, and he says, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Haomer, Yerushalayim, lo amar klum. If you say Yerushalayim, you haven't said anything. Is Rabbi Yehuda saying that you need the kaf ha-dimyon, and that without the kaf ha-dimyon, Yerushalayim means nothing, and therefore he's explaining really the latter half of the Mishnah as to why all of those items work, and he's introducing the kaf ha-dimyon versus the other case. The other possibility is that Rabbi Yehuda disagrees with regards to Yerushalayim itself, and that Yerushalayim, for him, does not have the meaning of the korbanot. Tanakhama says Yerushalayim, so Rabbi Yehuda is just saying Yerushalayim doesn't work, even with the kaf ha-dimyon. Saying, out of all that list, I agree with you except for Yerushalayim. That's one way to read Rabbi Yehuda. The other way to read Rabbi Yehuda is that he's emphasizing the kaf ha-dimyon and saying that Yerushalayim by itself won't work. You need the kaf ha-dimyon there. So that's one of two possibilities. Either because of the lack of kaf ha-dimyon, or because Yerushalayim inherently does not have the meaning of korbanot Yerushalayim. And we'll see two possibilities within the sheet of Rabbi Yehuda in the Gemara. So now the Gemara begins Savrua. In general, throughout Shas, if you find the word Savrua, that usually means I have a Havamina. We would have thought to say, it would have been logical to say, and then the Gemara will reject it. On the other hand, here in the Darim, Savrua means, this is the conclusion. The Gemara begins, this is what I would have thought, and this is the conclusion that it would come to. The Ran brings one other case in Shas, in the Gemara in Bava Batra, that has a similar usage of the word Savrua. So Savrua, my lachulin, I would have thought, what does the word lachulin mean? Lo lechulin havi ela korban. That it should not be chulin, but rather a korban. Mani matnitin. Who is the author of our Mishnah? I Rabbi Meir. If the author of our Mishnah is Rabbi Meir, leitle michlal lav atashumehain. Rabbi Meir is of the opinion that we do not draw inferences from your language. Just because you make a negative statement doesn't mean that we will infer the positive statement that would derive from that. So in this instance, when you say lo chulin, doesn't mean that I would derive from that it is hektesh or korban, because it's not chulin. So I would not draw such an inference. The Tanan. We know that from Rabbi Meir's opinion in the Gemara in Kiddushin, which is the Rabbi Meir Omer, Kol Tanai, She'eno Ketanai B'nei Gad U'B'nei Ruvain, Eno Tanai. Any condition that is made that is not like the condition of B'nei Gad and B'nei Ruvain does not qualify as a condition. Now, the condition of B'nei Gad U'B'nei Ruvain includes within it, there are many different items that are included in the Tanai B'nei Gad U'B'nei Ruvain, but one of them is that you need a Tanai Kaful, which means a double condition. The double condition means that I have to articulate both the negative side and the positive side. If you do such and such, the consequence will be this. If you don't do such and such, then the outcome will be this. So in that case, I'm articulating both the positive and the negative. Why? It must be because I can't infer one from the other. If I made the positive statement, the automatic inference would be that if you don't do this, you won't get it. But nevertheless, I still have to articulate it. It shows you that Rabbi Meir is unwilling to draw such an inference from a positive or negative statement to the other side. And therefore, in our Mishnah, he cannot be the author of the Mishnah because the Mishnah is using lo chulin to establish the word hekdesh or korban inferred from that negative statement. Now, the Rishonim are all asked over here, you can see it in the Balei HaTosafot, the Ran as well, that when it comes to Rabbi Meir's position, that is only with regards to Dinei Memononot. But the Gabei Isura, he does have Itlei. He does have Michlal Alav Atashumehain or Michlal Chen Atashumehalav. So Rabbi Meir's position is limited to monetary matters. Over here, we're dealing with Nidarim. Nidarim are Isurim. And if Nidarim are Isurim, then they should be subject to Michlal Lav Atashumehain, Michlal Chen Atashumehalav. So why over here is the Gemara automatically assuming that Rabbi Meir cannot fit in? There is one exception to the rule. The Gemara asks about Sota with regards to Rabbi Meir, and Sota seems to be primarily an Isur issue. Nevertheless, over there, the Gemara says that Rabbi Meir does not allow Michla Lav Atashumehain or Michla Lehain Atashumehalav. Says there because it's a Isura Hamevili De Mamon. It's an Isur that has monetary ramifications. With regards to the ketubah, with regards to sota, the outcome or the ramifications of the Isur sota, or whether the woman will have her ketubah in the end, or not have her ketubah in the end. So there is a monetary issue at hand. Because of that, Rabbi Meir over there will not invoke the principle, Michlal Lav Atashumehain, Michlal Hein Atashumehalav. It's very difficult, for a number of reasons. First of which is, that ketubah, according to most, is only a din derabonon, and not a din d'oraita. So the monetary ramifications from the Isur d'oraita are rabbinic in nature. And therefore, I think the Rav Chaim over in the Gemara and Sota wants to suggest that it has to do with whether the Tanai is inherent to the Isur itself or not inherent to the Isur itself. That makes a difference. And he wants to show that by Sota, the Tanai is inherent to the whole concept of Sota because of the fact that when she takes the Shvua or the Shvua Ta'ala, and because of that, we are, in a sense, utilizing Tnaim within the Isur of Sota itself, and that results in the fact that Rabbi Meir will invoke Tnai and all the requirements of Tnai because it's inherent to the issue. On the other hand, over here, what the Ran and the Tosafot say over here is that these are monetary matters. Yes, there's an Isur of Bal Yachel with regards to Nidarim, but there are also monetary ramifications over here. When a person takes an Itzer Neder of Hana from his friend, or he won't eat from his friend, that is also a monetary matter. And since it's a monetary matter, therefore, Rabbi Meir in this case would also agree that you need a Tznai Kaful, that you cannot utilize Michlal Lav Ata Shumehain, Michlal Hein Ata Shumehalav. You're unable to invoke that principle for Rabbi Meir over here, even though technically it is an Isura. According to the Rav Chaim, you would have to suggest that Tanai is somehow embedded inside of Nidarim, which is much harder to say, versus the case of Sota. Ella, Rabbi Yehuda, it must be that the author of our Mishnah is Rabbi Yehuda, who disagrees with Rabbi Meir with regards to Tanai, Kaful. Ema Seifa, that's very difficult to make Rabbi Yehuda the author of our Mishnah, because our Mishnah concludes, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Omer Yushalayim, Lo Amar Klum. So Rabbi Yehuda is brought at the end of the Mishnah, implying that which was said prior to that point was not authored by Rabbi Yehuda. Mid the Sefer Rabbi Yehuda, Reishalad Rabbi Yehuda. The end of the Mishnah is specifically stating it's Rabbi Yehuda's position, that implies that the earlier part of the Mishnah is not Rabbi Yehuda. It says, Kula Rabbi Yehuda. The entire Mishnah is authored by Rabbi Yehuda. V'hochik Tani. And this is how you conclude the Mishnah, not Rabbi Yehuda Omer, but rather Shit Rabbi Yehuda Omer. Omer Yerushalayim lo mar klum. So now it's clear here by the emendation of the Gemara that Rabbi Yehuda's opinion now is about the Kaf HaDimyon. Because by saying that, you're now concluding that Rabbi Yehuda is explaining why the Mishnah, when it says Ki Yerushalayim, works. Because Rabbi Yehuda says, when you say Yerushalayim alone, it doesn't work. So now it's clear that Rabbi Yehuda is focused on the Kaf HaDimyon the way that the Gemara is reading it right now. So now the Gemara says, V'chik Amar Ki Yerushalayim Rabbi Yehuda Mi Mitzar. If you now determine that Rabbi Yehuda is not arguing on our Mishnah, but rather is an explanation of the Mishnah, which is that the Kaf HaDimyon works, because without a Kaf HaDimyon doesn't work, that means that Rabbi Yehuda believes that Ki Yerushalayim is a way to engage in Neder. V'atanya. We have a Braita, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Omer Ki Yerushalayim Lo Amar Klum. So here, Rabbi Yehuda is explicit, and this is what I said, the other way to read Rabbi Yehuda in the Mishnah, is that he's not arguing on the Kaf HaDimyon, he's arguing on Yerushalayim itself, and saying that Yerushalayim is not sufficient, because you need something connected to a Korban or to the Mizbeach, and Yerushalayim just doesn't do that. So here, you have another Braita, which seemingly explains Rabbi Yehuda's position as being an argument about the usage of Yerushalayim and not about the Kaf HaDimyon. Gemara says, Kula Rabbi Yehuda. No, we uphold our position with regards to the Mishnah. Utrei Tanae Alibed Rabbi Yehuda. We have two Tanaim arguing about exactly what Rabbi Yehuda's position is. And again, when you read the Mishnah, it's obvious that you could read Rabbi Yehuda in one of two manners. The way that I explained the Mishnah is whether Rabbi Yehuda is arguing fundamentally on the word Yerushalayim, or he's simply indicating that Kaf HaDimyon is important, and that's what it made it work in the latter half of the Mishnah. Our Gemara is reading it based on the Kaf HaDimyon, and therefore Rabbi Yehuda is an explanation of the Mishnah, not arguing on the Mishnah. On the other hand, the other Tana and the Braita is reading Rabbi Yehuda as arguing on the Tana Kama and saying that Yerushalayim doesn't work. Over here, both the Tosafot and the Rosh explain Yerushalayim slightly differently. The Ran before explained Yerushalayim ki korbanot should be Yerushalayim. On the other hand, Tosafot and the Rosh explain it. You look at Tosafot, it says that peace Biktushat Yerushalayim shasuya mitrumata lishkot. To do a pasa in Yerushalayim that's made out of trumata lishka. Because the monies that were in the trumata lishka, the leftovers, the shayarei, trumata lishka were used to fix up things in Yerushalayim, to build the walls of Yerushalayim. And therefore, they're considered to be part and parcel of the monies that were brought for the korbanot. And that connects them back to the korbanot. So they look at Ki Yerushalayim as literally being Yerushalayim. The Ran read it as korbanot should be Yerushalayim. The other hand here, what you have to say is that Rabbi Yehuda is reading it as have to do with the city itself, and the city itself with ke, meaning something connected, and that is the trumat al-lishkar, the monies that were utilized to pay for it. The Rosh says something similar. He says, the savar chumat Yerushalayim lo atu mishayirei al-lishka. So the Rosh says that's exactly what he's arguing. That when you say Yerushalayim, it means like the walls of Yerushalayim. And there's a machloket as to whether the Shayirei al-Lishka are used for the walls of Yerushalayim or not. And based on that, would make a difference as to whether Yerushalayim, using the term Yerushalayim, inherently means like Korban, or has nothing to do with Korban. Well, that depends on whether you take the monies from the Shayirei al-Lishka or not. The Lishka, or the Trumat al-Lishka, is monies donated by the people for the service of the Tzibur and the Korbanot HaTzibur. If those monies, or those excess monies, are used in Yerushalayim, maybe Yerushalayim also carries a certain sense this idea of Korban with it, because it uses the monies that were for Korbanot. And that's what the Rosh says, that obviously this opinion believes that the walls of Yerushalayim are not built out of the Shayirei al-Lishka, and therefore you cannot be matpis with that. Versus if you thought it meant ki Korbanot should be Yerushalayim, then you should have been able to be matpis with the word Yerushalayim. Obviously that's why the Tosafot and the Rosh are giving this alternative explanation, in order to explain why this Tana, according to Rabbi Yehuda, believes that Yerushalayim does not work or does not suffice in terms of a hadpasa. And therefore the machloket, according to Rashi, according to this Braita, is whether Yerushalayim was nitkadesh or lo nitkadesh. According to Tosafot, whether when you mention Yerushalayim, you're focused on the Chumot Yerushalayim, which come out of the Trumat HaLishka, or on the inherent Kedusha in Yerushalayim, which would not be something that is Davar HaNador. And according to the Rosh, they're actually arguing in whether the Chumat Yerushalayim came out of the Trumat HaLishka, or they're arguing about whether when you say Ke Korbanot Yerushalayim, is that sufficient to reference the Korbanot or not, because Korbanot are not brought in Yerushalayim, they're brought in the Mikdash. Okay, now the Gemara continues, and here we run into our second problem, which is, on the top of Amud Bet, we have a Braita, and the Braita is difficult, both in terms of Girsa, and in terms of understanding the Braita. Tanya, Chulin, Ha-Chulin, Ki-Chulin, Ben-Shochal-Lecha, Ben-Sholo-Ochal-Lecha, Mutar. So, if you say that it should be like Chulin, that which I eat from you, or it should be chulin, that which I do not eat from you, mutar. In this case, it's mutar. Mutar means that the neder does not take effect. Now, over here, we would have suggested, if you say that, ki chulin shelo ochal lecha, that means that what I don't eat from you should be chulin, I would have then inferred from that, that which I do eat from you is kodesh. So the fact that we don't allow for such an inference to be drawn from this, makes it sound like this part of the Braita is authored by Rabbi Meir, who does not say, Michlal Lav Atashumehein, Michlal Hein Atashumeh Olav. Then we move on to the next section of this Braita. Lachulin Shochal Lecha Asur. Lachulin Lo Ochal Lecha Mutar. So now, Lachulin, if you're using a patach over here, that Lachulin means Lo Chulin. So when you say Lo Chulin Shochal Lecha, that means it should not be Chulin Ella, Kodesh, that which I eat from you. Asur, that works as a neder. Lachulin, lo ochal lecha, mutar. And then if you use a double negative, which is, it should not be chulin, that means that it should be kodesh, that which I do not eat from you, that which I do eat from you, mutar. The inference is actually that it's mutar. So lachulin shochal lecha would mean lo chulin elekdesh. That which I would eat from you should be hekdesh, and therefore it's asur. La chulin lo ochal lecha is that it should not be chulin, which would mean it should be hekdesh. Lo ochal lecha, what I don't eat from you, implying that what I do eat from you should be chulin, and therefore it is mutar. Now, obviously that drives a problem, because over here we're drawing an inference from la chulin, meaning lo chulin el hekdesh, which is michlal adlav atashumehain, u michlal hein atashumehalav, which is against Rabbi Meir's position. And that is what the Gemara asks over here. So you have a problem in authorship in this Braita, which is the first line in the Braita is following the position of Rabbi Meir, and the second line in the Braita is against the position of Rabbi Meir. And that the Gemara asks, Reisha Mani. Who is the author of the Reisha? Rabbi Meir, he delayed Le Michla Lava Toshu Meahin, because he does not allow for these types of inferences. Ema Seifa. What are you going to do with the latter half of this Braita? Lachulin lo ochal lecha mutar. How could it be that lachulin lo ochal lecha is mutar? Now, in addition to that, the Gemara now challenges whether the lachulin lo ochal lecha is actually the position of Rabbi Meir anyway. Because he has, in a Mishnah, Vatanan, la korban lo ochal lecha. If you say it should be a korban, lo ochal lecha, what I don't eat from you, Rabbi Meir oser. Over there, Rabbi Meir says it's asur. B'kashalon. Indeed, and beyond that, we have a problem, which is, ha leit le michla lava toshomehin. So, what do you do with that Mishnah? Rabbi Meir does not allow for inferences. Even on that Mishnah itself, you could ask the same problem, which is, all of a sudden, Rabbi Meir is making inferences of, la korban lo ochal lecha, from Rabbi Abba, nasek omer, la korban yehei. It's the equivalent of saying it should be a korban. Lefikach, therefore, lo ochal lecha. Therefore, I will not eat from you. What the Ran explains over here is that la korban can be interpreted in one of two ways. It can be either interpreted to mean le korban, or it can be interpreted to mean lo korban. How do we determine which one it is? We do it based on your statement. We will look to see which one will produce a neder. And over here, lefikach, lo ochal lecha. So it should be like a korban, and that's why I will not eat from you. So the implications of reading it that way are that you end up with a neder. So over here, he's saying, lik korban yehei, it should be a korban. Lo achalacha, therefore I will not eat from you. So that's Rabbi Meir's interpretation of that statement. But that means in the braita that we just brought, that should be the same thing. When we say, lachulin, lochulin, lochulin means elokurban, yehei, lo achalacha, according to him, that's an explanation of the first part of the statement, and it should be asur. Why does the Tan of the braita say that it is mutar? And that's what the Gemara says. Achanami, achakamarle, lochulin, lahavi, it should not be chulin, lefikach lo achalacha. And if that's the interpretation, it should be asur and not mutar. The Gemara's answer is, Haitana Savalak Rabbi Meir Bechado, Palagale Bechado, that Rabbi Meir agrees with the Tana in one instance and disagrees with him in the other instance. Savalak Vate Bechado, he agrees with him in one instance, the late Michla Lavata Shumayhein. He agrees with this idea that you can't draw inferences for positives or negatives. What about the fact that he's interpreting lachulin to mean lochulin? Over there, the Ran explains to us that the concluding language of the statement will shed light on the first part of his statement. So in an instance where you're inferring it based on his latter statement that you said shochalacha, there I will not say it means lochulin. On the case where he said lo ochalacha, then it's clear that what he meant in the beginning was, I don't want to eat from you, and therefore it must mean lo chulin elak hekdesh. And therefore it's not even an inference, it's a derivative of the latter part of his statement. Rashi amar, hadamar lichulin, hadamar either lo chulin or la chulin. The mashmeh lo lahavi chulin elak kurban. It makes a difference in whether you have a shva or a patach under the lamed. If you have a shva under the lamed, it means lechulin, it should be chulin. When you have a patach under the lamed, we saw before in the Ran, it could mean either lo chulin or chulin, or it could mean le korban or lo korban, depending on the context, which will bring a nether. So over here, the difference between the two cases is, the case of le korban, lo ochal lecha, the reason it works over there is because that's the way that Rabbi Meir means le korban yehei, and that's why I'm not eating from you. In our case over here, if you had said lachulin, lo achalacha, you would have ended up with the same answer. Lachulin means lo chulin. It's the same as saying le korban, lo achalacha, and it would have worked. But he didn't say lachulin. He said lichulin, lo achalacha. Lichulin with a shva does not mean lo chulin. And therefore lichulin means literally it should be chulin. And that's why it's not tofes over here. So the difference is whether he has a patach or a shva under the lamed. Lichulin, lo achalacha mutar, because over there he used lichulin, which does not mean lo chulin, and would have meant kegdesh, and would have matched up with Rabbi Meir's position in the Mishnah, and that's why it remains mutar over here, is because you're using lichulin. And the chiddush in the sefer is when you use lichulin, we will interpret that to mean it is chulin, even though you said lo achalacha, which generally Rabbi Meir will interpret to mean that is the result of my previous statement, is that I won't eat from you. Nevertheless, lichulin mitigates that latter statement. It means as if you said nothing, and that's why it remains mutar. And you can't say lichulin shlo achalacha means what I don't eat will be chulin, inferring that what I do eat is hekdesh, because Rabbi Meir doesn't hold of michla lav atashumehein. So that's the explanation if you have the girsa that we have in our Gemara, which is chulin. And as you can see, there's a lot of acrobatics to make that fit into the Gemara. First of all, by saying that la chulin means lo chulin, even according to Rabbi Meir, and that is not a violation of his principle of inference, because we say that the latter half of his statement sheds light on the first half of his statement, and we're trying to create a neder. But still, that's a difficult explanation within Rabbi Meir. And that statement in the Braita that says la chulin shochalach, when he has a patach under the lachulin, and he says shochalacha, that means lachulin, lochulin, elekdesh, shochalacha, that which I'll eat from you, asur. Which you would have to explain then, according to Rabbi Meir, is different than our Mishnah, where Tosafot and the Rosh claim that over here it says lochulin. And the Rosh says that ki'ilu amar behedja kurban yehei. But our Mishnah that uses the patach under the lamed, lachulin, is the case where he does not have the inference. Or, you have to suggest like the Ran, we would have to drop from the girsah, because that doesn't work according to Rabbi Meir. He doesn't have inference. And here, the latter half of the statement does not shed light on the first statement. And therefore, the Ran says you would have to eliminate that one line in the Braita in order to have it work with the Girsa of Chulin in it. But all of these explanations are difficult. And the same thing is, we're trying to connect the word Korban, Li Korban, to La Chulin. Therefore, there was an alternate Girsa, which is championed by the Raivud, that allows you to keep the Girsa and our Gemara intact by simply changing one letter, which the Ran favors and says makes a lot more sense, which is, instead of lachulin in the Braita, it says lachalin. And lachalin is the plural of chalot. So lachalin means it should be like the chalot of the Todah. Now in that instance, when you say lachulin and lachurban, now you're saying the same thing. Because lachalin means like the chalot of the korban Todah. Lachurban means also like a korban. And now you don't have to invoke any lachulin and say that Rabbi Meir holds of the inference in that case, because there are no inferences over here. They're saying the exact same word. The question of the Gemara is not about the lachulin versus lekorban, but rather simply about lachalin, lekorban. Why does it work in one case according to Rabbi Meir? Why does it not work in the other case? The answer is that the Tana holds like him with regards to the inference issue and does not say that lachulin means lochulin. But then he doesn't hold like him in the interpretation of Shalo Ochalucha means that is the result of my previous statement. And therefore, Lachalin will not work to generate a neder, as opposed to Rabbi Meir, who thinks that Lachalin will generate a neder. Ravashi's answer again is, the difference is whether he used the Shva or a Patach over here. If he used a Shva, then in Ochanami, Lichalin would generate the same result as Likurban. And therefore, you would make it a sur. On the other hand, if you use a lachalin, which means lo chalin, means not chalot, over there it will not work, as opposed to le korban. And that would be the answer, that the author of the Braita has the language be lachalin, which means lo chalin. And Rabbi Meir is talking about in that Mishnah, le korban with the shva. And Ein Ochanami, had the Tan of the Braita put in le chalin with the shva, he would agree that it's a sur, and he would have subscribed to Rabbi Meir's position. But it happens to be that there's a patach there. And because there is a patach, it doesn't work. And what you can't say is, lo yehei chalot todah, ma shelo ochal lecha, which would make it into an inference that it is, ma shochal lecha, yehei chalot todah. What I eat from you will be like a chalot todah. Rabbi Meir doesn't subscribe to la v'shomea tehein. And therefore also, what you would have to say is that the lichalin shochal lecha was written with a shva, and that's why it's a sur. Lachalin is written with a patach, and that's why it is mutar. And then we'll have the same chiddush that the Ran said before, that when you write it with a shva, even though you said shochalucha, it is a sur. And when you said it with a patach, lachalin, even though you said lo ochalucha, that will not shed light on the other aspect, and it will remain mutar. But in this way, it's much more consistent between the Braita and the Mishnah that we quoted, because in both cases, they're using an object that's similar, Korban or Chalot, Todah. And therefore, the question of the Gemara makes a lot of sense here, because they're using the same word in the Mishnah as we're using in the Braita, and that's why the Gemara was challenged by that Mishnah. Tohor v'tamei notaru pigul asur. Bayra mi bechama. Harei alai kebasar zivchei shlamim lachar zrikat amim mahu. He says that it should be, for me, like the basar, like the flesh of a shlamim, after the zrikat tamim. After the zrikat tamim, the flesh of the korban shlamim is mutar. So then, what was he doing? So Gemara is a mahu. Itka amar badein lishna, behetera kamatpis. Gemara says, if he used that language, there's nothing to talk about. He's using heter to be matpis. He's talking about basar shlamim. Basar shlamim is completely mutar. So why would you be matpis with basar shlamim? Or if you are matpis with it, it doesn't do anything. Ella, gogon de machit basar zivchei shlamim, umachit etera gabei. He has two pieces of meat in front of him. He has a piece of shlamim, and he has a piece of het there right next to it. Vamar ze kazeh. And then he says, this one should be like that one, which is the het there should just be like the shlamim. Mai, what's the din? Now again, it's seemingly he's doing the same thing he did before, which is his matpis beheter. The shlamim over here is meat that is heter, and the other meat is chulin, which is also heter. So when he says the chulin should be like the shlamim, what has he done? He hasn't done anything. Be'ikaro ka matpis? When a person thinks about the meat of the shlamim, he's thinking about the origination, the origins of this item, And therefore, when he's being matpis, he's not being matpis with this piece of meat in particular. He's being matpis in the concept of shlamim. And therefore, that would work. Oh, behetzerika matpis. Or is he thinking about the object that's right in front of him? This kulin should be like that shlamim. That doesn't do anything, and therefore there's no impact. So that's the question. When he uses something that is once bin asur, and now is heter, what is the status of that item? Is that item now considered to be matpis beheter? Or is that matpis be the origination or the core or the derivation of this item, which is something that was ne'asar, or something that you were makdish, which was the shlamim? So amarova tashma, our mishnah. Notar upigul. What about notar and pigul of our mishnah? Va notar pigul, lachar zrikat damim, who? Notar and pigul are after zrikat damim. And yet what does it say? It says over there that you can be matpis with them. How can you be matpis with notar and pigul? Notar and pigul are talking about basar after zrikat damim. Now the truth is that pigul doesn't necessarily have to be after zrikat damim, because pigul is a machshava before zrikat damim or in the zrikat damim, and therefore the Ran wants to drop the word pigul from this statement. But notar is flesh that was left over from a kurban. Now why is it asur now? It's asur because you left it for too long. So now, in the case of being matpis of the notar itself, it's not going to work. Because notar is asur because it's asur. And therefore, isur is not something you can be matpis in. You can't be matpis in something that's asur because it's asur min haTorah. It doesn't work. It only works if something that you made into isur. So here, the notar clearly is not asur because of your hatpasab to the fact that it's asur now. It must be that you're being matpis in the basar that it derived from, which is it was shlamim, it was meat of shlamim, and then it became notar. What does that show you? That when you're matpis in notar, which is shlamim achazrikat tamim, your mind is on the origination of this item. And therefore, you're focused on the shlamim. So now what I prove from you, I prove to you that when you take a piece of basar achazrikat tamim, your thought process is about the originations or where this came from, and it's talking about a shlamim. I'm a little Ravuna, brave Rav Nathan, bin notar shalola. I can solve the problem very quickly and say that you're confused. You were thinking you were talking about a shlamim. I could just say we're talking about an olah. An olah, even after zrikat damim, the basar remains asur. And has to go on the mizbeach. It has to be hefshevi nituach, and then it goes on the mizbeach. In that case, the notar is notar of something that is still subject to the hekdesh that made it in this manner. Amrlei imkein litnei bibasar olah. Then why does the Mishnah bother to mention the word notar if we're really just talking about the basar olah, the real hatpasa that's taking place here is derived from the Kurban Olah itself, not from the notar. Where it says, lo mi boi kamar, lo mi bai basar olah dasur. Of course, if you use basar olah, it would be asur. Talk about Kurban kamar, because then it's matpis with the Kurban itself. Notar pigul de olah, it's trichale. On the other hand, we need the notar and pigul of the olah. That's the chiddush over here. That's salkadat chamino ki isur notar. Ki isur pigol, that the person here is really being matpis in the isur of notar, matpis in the isur of pigol. Below you can matpis with davar asur, and then you're doing hatpasa with something that's asur inherently, nothing to do with hekdesh or your ability to make it into something that is asur. Below mitzar, and it wouldn't work. Kamash malan, that when a person uses notar or pigol when he's referencing an olah, he's focused on the isur of the olah itself, derived from the olah itself, and not the isur of notar pigul in particular, and kamash malan, that it works, then that type of a pasul works. And that's what the chiddush is in the Mishnah, that even by an olah, when you use notar and pigul, it still works, because basar olah of course works. Notar and pigul also work, because basar olah remains hekdesh, but it's teaching you this additional chiddush, that don't focus on the pigul and notar that he said, but rather on the olah that he is referencing. Now, the Ran in the end explains, what you have to look at is what caused the Isur to happen over here. So for instance, Fred asked before about the Shok and the Chazeh of the Shlamim. The Shok and the Chazeh of the Shlamim remain Asurim. Now, what the Ran points out is, why are the Shok and the Chazeh Asurim? Are they Asurim because this Kurban is Shlamim and it's Hekdesh? Or are they Asurim for a different reason? So he says, let's look at the Kurban. After Zrikat Damim, the Balim are allowed to eat the meat of the Shlamim. So that means that it's clear that the meat of the Shlamim is no longer Asur because of Ekdesh. It's Mutar for the Balim to eat. That means that the Shok and the Chazeh that go to the Kohanim, the reason that you can't eat them has nothing to do with Ekdesh. and everything to do with being a zar. And that means that the shok and the chazer are not subjects or results of hekdesh, but rather results of isur. And therefore, you have to look carefully as to why the object is asur over here. Is the object asur over here because it derives from hekdesh? Or is the object asur over here because of your status or your relationship to the item? If it's asur because of hekdesh, that means that it retains the characteristic of hekdesh, and you can be at peace with it. On the other hand, if it's asur because of your relationship with the item, then you're being at peace with davar asur, and it doesn't work. So therefore, in the case of chazev ishok, it will not work, because the item is no longer hekdesh. It's not asur because of hekdesh, it's asur because you're a zar. Because I know you can eat the rest of the basar shlamim. In that case, if you're matpis in that item, it doesn't work, because then you're being matpis b'isur. And the Ron says that's the same reason that a person is matpis b'trumat lach mei toda after zrikat damim, or a person that's matpis b'bechor after zrikat damim, is not asur. Because in all of those cases, they are mutar l'kohanim, asur l'zarim. What that shows you is that the isur now has nothing to do with the fact that they're hekdesh, it has to do with an isur imposed by the Torah upon this object, but not a derivative of your hakdasha of the animal. And therefore, it's no longer matpis bedavar nadur, ella matpis bedavar ha'asur. So you have to really look if the isurim are direct results of the neder, or a derivative of the neder. If they're direct result of the neder, then that's considered to be a davar nadur. If they are only a derivative of the neder, meaning that once the object attains this status, the Torah gives us a prescription for what will happen with this item. And if that is the case, then those are considered to be davar asur and not davar hanadur. And when it comes to pigul and notar, the reason that pigul and notar are asurim, tell me why that is. Bashlamim, the basar was totally mutar. The reason now that you're asur and notar may not derive from the fact that it's hekdesh. It's an other isur that now comes into play. Because the basar was mutar, and after becoming mutar, it went back to being asur. Asur because of notar, not because of hekdesh. That means that when you're matpis in the notar, it doesn't work. On the other hand, if you have notar of an olah, now I have a challenge. The notar of olah has two aspects to it. It never got released from being an olah, but it also has an isur notar, which isn't necessarily associated with the hekdesh of the olah. So that's what the Gemara says now. The chiddush in the Mishnah is teaching you that when you look at notar of the olah, the focus is on the hekdesh aspect of it and not on the notar aspect of it. Because you could have thought that notar and pigul are isurim, and those isurim are what generate the problem over here. If that's the case, then he's matpis b'isur and it won't work. Ella, what you have to say is that he's being matpis in the hekdesh aspect of the olah. And therefore the pigul and notar are not isurim, but rather hekdesh. Right, so that's the conclusion of the Gemara of Kiddush, of the statement over here, which is that even by Olah, we still say that you're focused on Hekdesh and not on the Pigul and Notar aspect of it. And therefore, you can't conclude anything about being Matpis Mi Karo. Because that would deal with Shlamim. Then Shlamim, you have to start thinking about Matpis Mi Karo. And our mission doesn't give us any evidence to that fact, because our mission is talking about an Olah and not a Shlamim. And the Kiddush of talking about an Olah is that even though, right, an olah remains hekdesh, what's the chiddush? The chiddush is that it also added on these isurim and pigul notar that you might have thought changed the status from being matpis to davar ha makdish versus davar ha asur. And that's the Mishnah teaches that chiddush, that it's still considered to be davar hekdesh and not be davar isur. Okay? We'll stop over here. 8 lines down on the top of Yud Bet Amud Aleph.